This recording was made by Mr. Inwell Thompson, Mr. Andrew Thompson, and their sister, Mrs. Ida Christensen, April 10, 1960, at the home of Mr. Andrew Thompson. They were interviewed by Jenny Woodward. Who were your parents?
Well, it's Mrs. Chris Thompson, but how'd you call it in English?
Well, that's all right. Mr. and Mrs. Chris Thompson were your parents.
Yes.
And where were they born?
They were born in Norway.
Do you know the year they were born?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, but when did they come to the United States?
1870, that would be.
Mm-hmm. How long were they coming over here? How long did it take them?
It took them 9 weeks on the boat.
9 weeks?
Yeah.
And do you know why they came to this country?
Well, they came here to get a home. There was no chance in Norway to farm it. And my father was a kind of a carpenter. He built log houses at that time in Norway. He did that here too. And they first came. They settled. Well, they stayed the first year, first summer, to Ed Knudsen's dad, Ellie Knudsen, in the township of Mount Morris. She was a sister of my mother, his wife. And Tom Nelson, he was there 6 years before, so he was up on the place where Andrew Nelson lived. And he worked in the woods in the winter time, and that's why he met his wife at Russell. They called it, I had a different name for it that time. And he married her. So she came down and lived on this place up here where Andrew Nelson was born. And then my father, down there, when he got stayed there that summer, then he bought a plot of land where Harlan lived, where the buildings are at that time.
That's where your folks lived, where Harlan lived?
Yes.
Was it that house, or did they have an old log house?
They had a wooden house.
Log house.
On the first place, they had a lumber, or a lumber, but that burnt down.
Uh-huh.
And they had a log house on the Knudsen place that they took apart and moved it up there and put it together. And that's what they lived in, on that one party.
And that was near the, what's known as the Willow Grove School.
Yes.
How many children were there in the family?
Well, my oldest brother and sister, they were born in Norway, Tom Thompson and Mary Ludlow. And there were six born in this country. Well, there were seven, but one boy died when he was about 6 weeks old. And then there were six boys living and two girls at that time.
Can you tell us something about your childhood?
Well, yes. Well, I was about 6 years old. There was a schoolhouse at that time, right west of the old Nelson Pieces place. Oh, just about 80 rods from where we lived. And since 5 years ago, the cyclone went through there and it took the schoolhouse at Old Nelson's Peace and all the buildings. Just swept them right off. And then they built the schoolhouse that is now the Willow Grove. That's, that was exactly 5 years ago. Yeah.
I heard my folks tell about the cyclone that went through there.
Yes.
Heard them tell it lots of times.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can show you the place today where old John Woodard started before the township was surveyed by the state. But I can show you the place today.
Yes, my grandfather, it wasn't farther west there, near the pond.
Yep.
That he settled.
Well, I think I can show you. He had a cellar under the house, but there was no stone wall, just a hole. And that, it's them sag there yet. My old John would have started. They just squatted on that. Anyway.
And then I guess it was the wrong land. Somehow they couldn't get a title to it, and they had to move to another spot.
Yeah.
Not far from there, but
nope.
They were just on the wrong land.
Yeah.
Can you tell about the ways of living then? Did you have any? Did they have any cattle or horses?
Yes, my father had a yoke of oxen. He had two cows, and he had a couple of pigs too, and maybe a dozen chickens at that time. And my father worked in the woods 18 winters. So they could live 18 winters. And the first, he got $14 a month at his board. But he kept on going up. Towards the last, he got on 30. Towards the last of the 18 years, he got up. They raised it a little right off. He worked up here for Stevens Point, just north of Stevens Point at that time.
You'll have to tell about the Indians living up in the woods there, and they ate up Mother's haystack.
Well, while my father was in the woods in the winter time, there was a big flock of Indians that lived right under the hill there of Alfred Adams, what you used to call the old Peace Place. And they lived there. And they had 9 or 10 Indian ponies. And my father had a little stack of straw, a little stack of corn stalks, and I remember he had any hay to feed his cows and oxen till spring. But these ponies, they all had bells on, and they would go over there every night eating this corn stalk. And my mother would get up and chase them away, but they'd come back. Oh, they bothered already. And the Indian woman, they came over there and was begging pretty all the time, pretty every week. They begged for something. And my mother was afraid of them, so she gave them. If she had it, they got what they asked for. Well, so that spring, well, then the next summer, something happened. They moved farther west. I think they went to Minnesota, that tribe of Indians. There was a whole bunch went there. And we got rid of them. That's the last we see of them. That is such a big bunch. Once in a while, a few that go through, but not many. They didn't stay.
Did they do much farming then?
Well, before my father came, they were farming then too. Oh, where Alfred Addo lives, there's a fellow from Baltimore that had that. He had 420 acres of land there. He bought from the government from Baltimore. And he had it. He built up a house there and broke up a lot of land.
His name was John Gordon, wasn't it?
No, before that.
Wheeler.
Wheeler.
Well, he built up a house, the same house that's there now. But it was on a different place. It was farther west, right in the valley there. But the water boiled so much that they couldn't keep it that. We had to move it up here the high place where it gets out.
Were those ponds real high then?
Yes, they were high.
I suppose they all run together like a lake.
Yeah, well,
sometimes
they ran over the road that cut the road to pieces where it is now. Right under the hill there at that time, there was a big fountain. Run all the time. It just made a river. A kind of a small creek. All the way down. That it filled up, then it went across the road. So the pilot had to make a ditch or a bridge. Run to the road.
No, I can't remember that fountain.
Huh?
I can't remember that fountain.
No, you can't. I can. And on that Gordon place, the one out at the west today, they moved the house from where it stood over there on the foundation where it stands now. And the fellow that moved it was neighbor Gardner Moldenhauer, Will Moldenhauer's dad. And I remember my father, he helped him. They had a kind of a bomb like up here, big iron outfit, and had a rope around it. And my father's job was, he sat under here, took up the slack. He had one horse
on a sweep,
like a horsepower.
Yeah.
That's done the pulling of the building. And they got it up there. Well, they got up there in good shape, clean up to the wall. But they had an awful time to get it over on that. There's a two upright.
And over there.
Well, they had logs and they had everything you could think of. Prop it up so that it slides across. The cellar was made beforehand. The basement. And they finally got it there. It took them, just a couple of 3 weeks, but they made it anyway. So they got the house where they wanted it. It was up on the high, and it was away from that valley where the water runs so much. So the house is on the same place today.
How long did it take?
As they put it that time. And it's about the same. They built an addition. They've built an addition to it since that on the west. That wasn't there that time. But the two uprights, they were there. The two of them.
Did they used to thrash with horsepower?
You
can remember when they did.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I can remember that.
How many teams did they use?
They used 10.
10?
I mean, five.
5.
10 horses.
10 horses.
Yeah. Well, the first, I remember, before they had the thrash machine, they thrashed with oxen. They put the grain on the platform and had the oxen walk on it. To thrash it. Mm-hmm. And then they pick out what they didn't thrash.
Did they call that that wasn't a treadmill, was it?
No.
A treadmill is something different.
Yeah,
that's the fucking treadmill.
Treadmill, I suppose that is where they grind the grain.
No.
Treadmill?
No. That tread power, they had a rigging up here where they had they used to use a big buck for that. That would keep our going. That would run the machine over there.
I've seen pictures of it.
Yes. Thread, grind, and whatever they wanted done.
Well, maybe you'd like to tell about the schools, Mrs. Christensen.
Nothing else but just the teachers. If you want me to.
You went to the Willow Grove School there then?
Yes, uh-huh.
And that's where you went to school?
Yes. Uh-huh. That's the only school that I really went to was down in the hollow there.
How many scholars did they usually have?
Well, I should imagine about 40, shouldn't you, Anna?
They had up
40,
to
50?
They had up to 62. And then they had to build an addition to the schoolhouse about 56 years ago. Oh, 58 years ago. They had to build an addition. That's that. The fellow from Watchover done the carpenter work. he moored it to my father's place.
Who were some of the teachers?
Well, it was Francis Mosier Yates and Johnny Walla, Rose Sweat, Nellie Lane, Clara Woodard, Imogene Staples, Ursula Pierce, Marion Davies, Miss Smith, Mary Thomas, and Maud Selsing Thomas, and Charles Taylor was the superintendent at that time.
Well,
so, did they have some big boys that
usually were
hard to manage?
Yes, I should say so. I remember
who were some of the big boys.
Well, I remember there was a Clara, that Smith girl from Plainfield was teaching, and the big boys got so bad that she had to go up to Henry Woodard and get him to come down and do something about it. I know it was Louis Hansel.
Well, who are the others? You're way behind.
Yeah, I suppose I am.
Well, I can remember lots before that. The first teacher I remember was John L. Evans. John L. Evans. He lived up here. And he taught in the school right before it blew away, before the cyclone. He was teaching there just before that. The cyclone went through when the schoolhouse was empty. There wasn't any school at that time. So nobody got hurt. They just picked the school up right up. And they had a big stove, one of them old-fashioned log ones, and they dropped that over on right north of Harlan's house. They called it the Dodge Hill. That dropped that. Old Mrs. Pease, it happened about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it got so dark that, why, it's as black as a book. And we all went in the cellar to my father's place. There was no water, but there was a hole under that. Well, we was under there. Oh, when it rained, something pierced. Oh, it rained, just poured up. And while we were in there, old Mrs. Pease, she came running, run right down the cellar of the water. All wet. But she couldn't talk. She was scared to death. Well, after she calmed too, so she could talk, she told about what had happened. Old Nelson Pease was in the corn crib. And he was giving some soft soap that he had in a barrel. And while he was dipping his soap out, and Mrs. Pease opened the door, and she hung on to the nub, and she hollered to Nelf, "Come on in, there's a storm coming." And she hadn't more than said it, for it was there. And he picked the house up, hauled it around, and she hung on to the nub, and she dropped in an apple tree. About 10 rods from that. She dropped the apple and scratched her face a little bit. That's all she got hurt. And the building went.
And didn't old man Pease go head first in the soap barrel?
No.
Oh, he
but,
didn't. I thought he did.
He just took the corn crib and left the foundation. He left the foundation. And then it smashed the barrel right down. And he got all soap laying on the ground. But he didn't pick him up. He didn't get it. But Mrs. Pease, she went with the building. And it went across where Raymond Nelson lived. There was a Jefferson lived there at that time. And they had a kind of an upright, kind of two-story, 12-foot high, and a shanty on the north side. The cyclone took the shanty right off and left the rest of the building. Took right over like sick plane, right over the house there. It went up in the air and dropped over Sashville. That was the last of it. It went up over that Sandlone Hill, we called it. And it dropped over Sashville, and that was the end of the cyclone. It started over here in Parker's Valley, about Oh, 3 miles northwest of Wautoma. That's where it started. It started from a whirlwind. They see it start from a whirlwind. And kept on picking up and getting stronger and stronger till it got, so it picked up everything.
Do you have something more to tell about school?
Well, no, not especially. Only, no, and maybe that they don't exactly want this in us.
Okay.
This is about the Lutheran ladies' aid.
Yes, I wanted you to tell about your churches.
Oh.
And something about your churches years ago.
Well, I can't.
Where you went to church?
Well, this is it, the most of it. If you, you want me to read it, I'm not
just
very
tell
good
us
reader.
Just whatever you want to do.
Well, okay. This here and that. Is it all right? Mm-hmm. Too long?
Oh, about the church?
Yeah. In the beginning, Our Lady's Aid was a part of the Holden Aid in Mount Morris. Reverend A.L. Dahl was the pastor. Mrs. John Thompson was the first president of Lady's Aid. And Mrs. Tom Lovedahl was first vice president of the Lady's Aid. Later, it was decided that members of West Holden separate from the Mount Morris Aid, as the distance to travel to meeting was too far to make it convenient for members to attend. The first congregational meeting was held at Chris Thompson's, January 28, 1913. Mrs. Ole Severson, who had been doing and giving to mission work, was instrumental in continuing the work of the aid. The first regular meeting was held June 1906 at Soren Sorensen's. Miss Stella Folsen was elected president. The menu at their meetings was usually bread and butter, baked beans or meat, sauce, cake, and coffee. The tables were always set until 12:20, when the cafeteria method was adopted. Some of the first members were Mrs. Soren Sorensen, Mrs. Ole Severson, Mrs. Ella Folsen, Mrs. Sam Wallop, Mrs. George Gunderson, Mrs. Andrew Lovedahl, Mrs. Chris Thompson, Mrs. Tom Lovedahl, Mrs. Peter Wally, Mrs. Knut Anderson, Mrs. Charlie Charlson, Mrs. Jim Gunderson. Yeah. The ladies' piece quilt blocks, maid aprons, and shirts. And they had oyster suppers, ice cream socials, rag ball, and necktie socials, also box socials. The proceeds went of one ice cream social at Andrew Lovedahl's went to pay for Mrs. T. Songy's operation. The only record kept were recorded by the president. She wrote the names of those present, and their dues was 10 cents each. The Norwegian language was used until Reverend Helsum came in 1913. Is that all right?
Fine.
Well, this is the church. That started in 1891.
Is that the West Holden?
West Holden Church.
Mm-hmm.
At that time. Well, they didn't build it till, after 1894. Well, they started after he preached in the school out for 2 years. They start to figure out ways of building a church somewhere. Because Tom Nelson, Andrew Nelson's dad, he had 14 miles to church. And they drove with horses. They went back, when the kids went to parochial school, they didn't come to our place the night before and stayed there on the way home the next night. It's too far to walk in one day. And then they finally got together. They had several meetings to get organized to build a church. Well, they old Law from Mount Moore, of course, he was the head foot. And they got together, and old man Hanson, Fred Hanson, he gave 1 acre of land to the church, free, where the church stands today. And later they bought an acre, so they've got 2 acres Where the church stands, that is the cemetery, is on that too. And, well, it brought along. They had meetings after meetings. And then, of course, they had quite a time to gather up the money to start with, to buy the lumber. Because most all of them there at that time was new beginners. They just started in. They didn't have any money. Well, they finally gathered up some over $800. And they bought the lumber from Stevens Point. My father and some of the others had worked in Stevens Point for that lumber company. And they told my father that when they wanted to build a church, he furnished the lumber at cost. There's not any profit. So they shipped it from Stevens Point to Plainfield. And they hauled it from Plainfield to the place where the church stands today. And there was a fellow, a Welshman from Wapaka, that built the church. Just one man, but whenever he wanted any help, he wanted to pull five men today, he got it. If he wanted 10 o'clock tomorrow, why, the neighbors, he got them. So he did one carpenter, but they all worked. Everyone that belonged to them, they all worked, helped build it. And of course, labor at that time was cheap. That fella from Wapaka, all he got for all his time was, I think, it was $78. But he got his board. We had to pay his board. He boarded to George Gunderson, or Justin Gunderson lives today. He boarded there. But they didn't charge him. The congregation paid it, so they almost boarded him for nothing on their own home. But he lived there. He slept there. That time. That was then. Oh, 1894, that's what.
Before they built that church, did you have to go to Mount Morris then to church?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We went to Mount Morris to church and to parochial school.
Mm-hmm.
It was all Norwegian at that time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they had the church in our old schoolhouse too, you remember?
Yes. Yeah, I just told that to
him. Did
he? Oh, no, he preached there in between the 4 and 3 month school.
Mr. Andrew Thompson, you're not saying much. You tell us about your neighbors, who your neighbors were years ago. Tell us about your neighbors.
My neighbors years ago, they're gone long ago.
Well, who were some of the neighbors?
Well, that would be Albert Ralph and his folks. Down there where Hansel is now, he was a neighbor. And the old man Clinchman, he lived there right north of the Hansel place, between that and that three corner. Yeah. Clinchman, mm-hmm. You remember?
I've heard the name.
Yeah, you must
mm-hmm.
have. Well, then, let's see now. Oh, Joe Bailey. And Joe Bailey, yeah, he lived on that other, where them lilac bushes still are, a little west of the road, main road. Yeah, that was old Joe Bailey. Now, the Tom Lee place was, well, the Tom Lee place, now, who was there before at that time?
Pete
I don't know.
I imagine Pete Peterson.
Oh, no.
Pete Peterson?
No, no, that's way before that.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't know. I can't remember that.
Don't forget Edwards.
Who?
Edwards.
Why, at the beginning. Was Fred Edwards there at that time? The old man?
I think so.
I wonder. Huh?
I think so.
Yeah, you better think. Was Charlie born down that place? Yeah, he was. Well, then he was there before. About that time I was talking about here.
Then I suppose it was Wellner's and the Beers?
Yeah, well, nurse, of course, they was neighbors, sure. And Gilson there, Ed Gilson's dad.
Poor, he was there too, you know. He built that house there. Oh, Fred Hansel.
And Fred Hansel, yeah.
And August Hansel. They used to live right there by the church.
They was neighbors too on the southwest there. Well, then north, then it would be Wheeler, of course, was the first one north, excepting old man Pease, Nelson Pease, because he just over and under the woods there, you know.
Yes, I know. Yeah. And old Fry Darling,
yes, and
John Hart,
sure.
They just came home from the army shortly before that, and they built up there.
And old John Woodard. He must have been in there at that time,
sure.
Of course. Well, then, Henry Woodard, I suppose.
No, that was later.
That was after that.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, I suppose. It could be. Well, then I guess you got all I know.
What did you young fellows do for amusement in those days?
Well, sir, now, he didn't have the stuff then they got today. Got along pretty cheap.
Well, we had skis for the winter and sled, and that marsh down there was all lake at that time. We had skates for winter.
Yeah, that in the winter months, yeah, there's quite a little then.
And the summertime, well,
work.
Work. We used to go to what they called Bean's Lake to swim.
Yeah.
The blood suckers used to get on you.
Yeah.
Well. Was there any fish in Bean's Lake then?
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
There was some fish in there then.
Yeah, there was, but I forget what kind there was.
Well, I don't know. It was mostly perch at that time.
Yeah.
And
when that old Nelson Pease died, the old John Woodard preached the funeral sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Your great granddad, or whatever it is.
My grandfather, John B. Woodward, was my grandfather.
Grandfather, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
He was awful handy.
Yeah.
And he was such a cool headed man.
Mm-hmm.
Awfully cool headed.
Yes, I've heard them say that. He used to lay people out when they were dead. There was no undertakers around, and he would lay them out. And
I know my father helped to lay out old Nelson Pease. And John Woodard was my father felt hurt to have him pass away. But he didn't bother John one bit, and he handled him so well. So father says to Mr. Woodard, "Boy, but you're handling him wrong. Well, he don't know anything about it," he said. "He ain't there." So they cleaned him up and got him ready for the funeral.
Another thing I remember about your grandpa was that
they used to say that when it had been dry, you know, when it started to rain, he'd say, "Oh, good Lord, send it down." That was old Grandpa Woody. He was a good old man.
Ah, he was a nice old man. All right, bye. You can use it anywhere.
You
a good hearted fellow.
Yeah. Well, I guess you got it for now.
Oh, I think you can tell me some more. We've got lots more tape. Anything you think of?
And this old Dave Woodard, old man Woodard. You know, he preached when Fred Muller's first baby born, boy, was buried.
Yeah.
He's the only preacher there was around at that time.
Yeah.
And he was there and preached the sermon in the house, Tom Lee's place.
And Fred Muller at that time, he lived there.
Well, he lived there, Fred Muller and his wife.
Tom Lee's place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the oldest, that first baby was the boy.
Yeah. Well, at that time, I'm going to tell you something, too. I was 12 years old. And Cadwallader had spoken for a girl to work there during the type. And he came up to my father, wanted him to go down and get this girl. It was on a Sunday. Father said, boy, he can go. That was me. I went with him home, and he hitched up his team, and I went down to Wautoma, and the girl that he hired was Ida Davis, Ork Davis's daughter. I got her and brought her up to the farm just before dark. Well, then I put the horse in the barn, unharnessed him, and then I went home. And in the night, 10, 11 o'clock, why, he was to have this boy. And so he sent the hired girl up to my mother to have her come down. But she started up the road. When she got up there to the woods, she got scared. And she went back home, down home. And the kid was already born. So Fred, he had to run up and get Mrs. Edward to come down. And she came. And, well, he lived, I suppose a week probably. He lived a few days anyway. And he died. And old John Woodard preached the funeral sermon.
Yeah, he took out a...
Yeah, he did. Fine, that's...
We haven't gone any further.
I suppose your folks did your mother had to knit stockings for you and...
Why, sure. Yes. And,
You couldn't buy much clothing, I suppose.
No.
Oh, he didn't have no money. He couldn't buy without money. And got along with...
Well, at that time, when my folks came, they came by boat as far as Berlin. But there wasn't any Berlin at that time. But just where Berlin stands today, there happened to be a place to the level right side of the bank. So they stopped there. And they had lumber in the boat to build a house or depot. So they unloaded right there. And there was plenty of men on board that was carpenters that could do that. So they built a house there that they had for a depot kind of station. So that was before Berlin was there at all. They came right up the river. That place was level there, and that's where they got off. Yeah. And then they walked from there. You know, there rode the oxen. At that time, they had to grind their flour in Milwaukee. It took them over a week to drive down there with oxen and drive back and grind the flour. And they all chipped in when one went, why, he ground for this one and for that one to help each other out. And later then, they had a mist mill up there at rural Wisconsin. They started a mill there on the river there. And they intended to make a city out of that. But when the railroad didn't hit that, it hit Waupaca. So they left them out. So they were done. They built a mill over there on the Sioux line, they called it, at that time.
Where did you go to buy? There was no Wautoma then, I suppose.
No, not a thing. No. At that time, they had the Washoe Argus, which is, I think, Pine River. That's where the Washoe Argus started. I think it's Pine River. And after a while, they built a mill here in Wautoma, too. And then they got the post office here, too, during that time. But I don't know how they done it, but they did anyhow.
There was a little fuss about it, I heard tell.
Yeah,
but
they had trouble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they wanted it over there.
Uh-huh.
Wautoma got it anyway. Now, this county here was surveyed by the government in 1851. 1851. That's 109 years ago, this summer, 109.
How old are you, Mr. Ingall?
No, I'm 84, the second to last January.
And Andrew, how old are you?
82.
And Mrs. Christensen?
75. Mm-hmm.
You can remember a lot then in those years. Can you tell us some more, Mrs. Christensen, about your home and your children?
Well, anyway, it seems to me that I was 6 years old when we moved from the log house and up in a new house, and my sister Mary got married, and I was 6 years old, as far as I can remember. And I thought it was an awful funny thing when Mary was getting married. I didn't know what a wedding was or anything, and I thought it was supposed to be a lady's aid we were going to have. And lad, I don't remember much of anything else. I know we used to have lots of fun anyway. We used to slide down that hill down to the schoolhouse right in the road. And Clara Smith went down there once on Anton's bike. And she was going to try it, you know. She went down and she got into the fence, you know. She tore her, I don't know, she got hung up, I guess, but she got down there anyway. So we used to have lots of fun on the old farm. And I was so much together with Blanche and Edith Woodard. They were my chums going to school. And I remember when Edith was home from California, and she and Blanche was to Lucy's. And that was our last meeting with, my last meeting with those two Woodard girls. That was my dearest friends in school. So, I don't know, there wasn't. Anything else that happened?
I went to school with Roy. What little school I got. Roy and Clary and Flora. Ike Woodard's daughter.
Mm-hmm. That was my sister. My oldest sister.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's what cost him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, at that time, there was no grades, nothing. You could come to school if you want, or you could stay at home. Mm-hmm. The teacher would have got $18 a month to begin with. And the less they had, the better they enjoyed it. Let's see now. Well, at that time when Roy went, when I went, Henry Woodard was the clerk. Old John Woodard for the treasurer, and somebody else, I guess John Hart, for the director at that time. So when Henry hired the teacher, he hired with the agreement that she must board to his place. So what little that teacher knew, his children got it. And they got it all.
But you got that.
We didn't get nothing. Think anything. No. I didn't have a pen.
Yes, I think there was a little fuss about where the teacher boarded. I've heard tell that.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's Clara, she got to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But Roy,
you didn't have to know too much to be a teacher then.
No. They didn't get much, and they didn't know much either. Oh, they did. They done the best they could, of course, at the time. But, for $18 a month, they paid $6 a week for board and room. $6 a week.
Oh, no,
and when the month...
$6 a month.
$6 a month.
Mm-hmm.
$6 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And when the month was over, we had $12 to the good. Mm-hmm. That is for their clothes.
What were the wages then for men when they worked?
Well, when they built the West Holden Church, I get $3. And I work all 1 week for 40 cents a day. I worked hard. And I slept the whole and had my breakfast the whole, but I got my dinner and my supper. 40 cents a day. And they got up to 50 cents a day, Nick. I'd chop one for 50 cents a day after I was 16. 50 cents a day. But I got my board and room then.
They didn't raise many potatoes then, did they?
No. I can remember the first potatoes they raised. Well?
I suppose they just raised enough to eat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one that raised potatoes to sell to halt the Plainfield was Tom Nelson, Andrew Nelson's dad. He had 3 acres. They called him, they had a funny name for them. They were a red potato, great big one. And he had a good crop. And the next year, he had, I think, 4 acres. And there was a fellow that lived on Griff Davis's farm. There's some pole landers that up. His name was Griff Davis, too, at that time. So the next fall, we went up to pick potatoes. Ed and I were supposed to pick potatoes for this Griff Davis. He had about 3 acres. Well, we went up there to my uncle's on Sunday night. We went down there Monday morning. And about 10 o'clock, it started to rain. And it rained something awful. And that's why he had his potatoes. It was just like a mud pot. All mud. He couldn't dig them for a week. So we went home. We didn't pick any potatoes. So. And Ellen Anderson, he had a few too, but his surname was Bernie Hansen. He was the pick for him. Because their kids were too small to pick. Ellen Anderson lived where Albert Davis lives now. That's where Ellen Anderson played.
Did they raise many hogs then?
No, not many. They had a few. They had one blue sow and have six, eight, or ten pigs. About all they had.
So they could butcher and have some salt pork, I suppose.
Yeah. Salt pork, sure. And then in the summertime, they bought a keg of salmon. I know, 25 or 50 pound keg. So much for the keg. So they had that beside the salt pork. And of course, we raised the old potatoes.
Well, you Norwegians would have to have some fish, I suppose.
Yes, we did. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's about all.
Well, you got something to tell us?
No, I guess you better quit before you get stuck here.
Well, let's use the rest of it up. When were you married and started in for yourself?
I was married on May 4th, 1910. Mm-hmm. It'd be 50 years if I lived till the 4th of May.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'll make it.
Oh. Yeah. Have you always lived on the same farm?
Sure. Same place all the time. I got it in 1903. In December, but I started in 1904. I built my granary in 1904, first building. I built my house in 1906, and I built my barn the 9th. I worked.
Did you do your own carpenter work?
No, I was no good. But I had a swamp, 15 acres of swamp. I cut almost all my lumber for the building. For the house, all the rest of it. So I had to work 5 miles to go to get it. Haul it to the sawmill.
And what year were you married, Mr. Andrew Thompson?
Well,
I was married the same day, the same year.
A double wedding?
Yeah.
Two brothers married two sisters, is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which farm did you have when you were married?
Which farm did you live on when you were married?
I lived on that farm up there, west there, up in the hill there.
Yeah. Straight west of Alfred Addo's, wouldn't it be just about?
No.
Oh.
It'd be straight west from the Willow Grove School, just about straight west, 2 miles.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Started in the brush there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I imagine it was hard work clearing up your farm, wasn't it?
Oh, sure. It was all hard work at that time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you had horses for breaking teams then, did they?
Oh, yeah. Then
didn't you use oxen then?
No, not then, no. They're going by.
Mm-hmm. You built all the buildings there, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, any more?
Did you see many Indians then, or in your time, Mr. Thompson?
No, just when I was 6, 7 years old. They were just there 1 year.
Did they camp down by those ponds at any time?
Yes, they camped right under the hill there by Atos.
Mm-hmm.
Right under the hill there. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was... So they had 9 or 10 Indian ponies.
Would that be in the summertime that they camped there, not in the winter?
Yes, they had the winter, too.
In the winter, too.
And one winter.
Yes, one winter.
Yeah, uh-huh. They were. Okay,
Loon Darling winter.
Huh? Oh, but he's long later. I remember that well. There's a lot of time before
did
that.
Did somebody live there before Loon Darling?
No.
That he was the first one on his farm.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Right here from Alfred Adler's place to 22, nobody on that. There was anybody. Mm-hmm. All woods, all the way down. I can remember that. Oh, I was... My father, I went to Waltoba once with Wheeler. I suppose I was about 7 years old. And he had horses. We went down there. Rode, crooked around all the hills all the way down to 22. Nobody could be seen anywhere.
And when Wheeler left that farm, he went, where was it, to Kansas, was it?
No, he went back to Boston. He sold his farm that to John Gordon's dad.
I thought he went west. He tried to get my dad to go with him. My folks to go. He tried to get my folks, Wheeler did, to go with them.
Yeah.
But I thought they went west, but maybe not.
Well, he sold it to John Gordon's dad, anyway, mm-hmm. from Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
They were neighbors or friends wherever they came from.
Mm-hmm.
But where Wheeler went, Wheeler was here once after that.
Who was it that brought Billy Gardner to this country? Was that Wheeler or Gordon?
Gordon. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I know Billy came from Baltimore.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, at that time, Billy Gardner, they claimed, was a kid that Mrs. Gordon had before she was married.
Oh, no, you mustn't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that he wasn't wanted anyway. And,
no.
No.
Uh-huh.
You want to tell us something about your folks? What they had to do? Their housework, your mother?
Well, I know that she had to wash by hand, and I guess everybody else did. And I know at that, she used to help Mrs. Rue Barnhart do her washing, besides mother doing the work. And the washing, I mean, for all the rest of us. And she used to help her out, too, I think once a week or so. Because I don't know, Mrs. Gord, or Mrs. Rue Darling... I don't know. I guess she was sort of a little bit crippled or something. So Mother helped her out. But, of course, there was no convenience of any kind, but that was
That was, the rest of them was in the same boat. Mm-hmm. They didn't have washing machines. Although we did have a hand machine before we went to Wautoma to live.
Had to heat your water in the boiler on
yes.
top of the stove or
yes.
kettle?
Yes, sure.
And wash on a washboard?
Yes. But at last, when we lived on the farm, we did have a hand washing machine, and that helped a whole lot.
And make your own soft soap, I suppose?
Well, yes, Mother did.
Her hard soap?
Mother made the soft soap.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't a very good soap maker.
Mm-hmm.
But she worked at it. And so
she had to do a lot of knitting for you children?
Yes, she did lots of knitting. But I never learned some way or another, but I wished I had. But I suppose I'm not too old yet to learn to knit.
So, and I suppose she had to make all your clothes. You couldn't buy clothes in those days.
No, I know, but Mary, my sister, was 16 years older than me. And Mary used to do my sewing, you know, until I got
there. Did you have a machine then?
Yes, we had a sewing machine as long as I remember.
When Mary was 16 years old, my father bought a sewing machine from a fellow from Berlin. For $60. And after that, we're married. I suppose she's 15, 16 years old. Well, she practiced to sew. She could sew anything, too. And that helped my mother out on everything. She could sew shirts and sew overalls, jackets, anything. But we had to buy the goods to sew it from.
Where could you go to get the goods?
Well, at that time, we didn't want Wautoma at that time.
Oh.
Yes, that was...
That was later on.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, of course, in my time, we used to go to Charlie Smart's at Wild Rose, you know. He had the store there at Charlie Smart, and my mother and I used to drive up there a lot to do our trading. Used to drive with one horse and buggy.
Well, I can remember well my mother, she'd carry a 3-pound jar of butter and maybe 2 dozen of eggs to Wild Rose, and she'd carry back a sack of flour.
She did. I never remember that.
At that time, the flour was 60 cents for 50 pounds of flour.
Mm-hmm.
And a year later, it got up to 75 for 50 pounds. But she carried it home on her shoulder.
And it took a lot of flour, I imagine, for you and
yeah.
your family.
Yeah. Well, in the fall of the year, we generally raised some buckwheat. So they had a sack of buckwheat flour ground, and we had a butchered of pig, and we had sugar cane, so we had sorghum. So that's what we had mostly in the wintertime was buckwheat pancake and fresh pork and sorghum. That is for every day. But otherwise, for something special, we used a lot of rice. They called what they call rice pudding at that time. And they made pudding out of cornmeal, too, or a mush, they called it. Yeah.
It was cheap, and that's what you had to use, I
yes.
suppose.
And it would get as good as
yes.
better than today.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's all
that's
sugar.
Right. Sure. Yes, right.
Too bad today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you think of anything more to tell?
So,
it's nearly through anyway, so
well,
you're
I
getting...
Well, one thing more.
Okay.
My father worked in the woods 18 winters. He worked 17 winters up here and 1 year in Michigan. And in Michigan, he went there because he got a little more pay, both said. Because he wanted to buy another pair of oxen in the spring to break them. But just the day before he quit or got through, they went bankrupt. He had to come send home for money to get home. And a year or two later, he got 10% of it. He worked there for nothing. Yeah. I tell you, that was tough. Well, I guess that's...
Well, this has been very interesting, and thank you.
Yes.